This is Childhood Matters, presented by Interactive Parenting Media.
Childhood Matters.
For parents and everyone else who cares for or about kids.
We are family. Give everybody a say.
Here's your host, Rona Renner.
Good morning and welcome to Childhood Matters. Today we'll talk about anger in children. This intense emotion is often triggered by other feelings such as frustration, fear, jealousy, or disappointment. Understanding what your child is dealing with is key, but if you're like most parents, you struggle with what to do when your child seems out of control and overtaken by their strong emotions and feelings. I'm Nurse Rona, and I'm here each week to present important topics to parents, grandparents, foster parents, childcare providers, big sisters, big brothers, or anyone who cares for and about children. So have you ever had your child wake up in a sour mood? Maybe she refuses to get dressed, and then when you pour her cereal, she melts down and starts to scream because you put it in the wrong bowl. As your child continues to get angry at everything, you give up your idea of a pleasant morning and you notice your stress rising. It's easy to react based on your own frustration and disappointment, and I'm sure we can all remember times when our anger got the best of us. Or you can take a deep breath and ask yourself, what's going on here? Why is she so out of sorts? If you do that, chances are you'll get a clue as to your child's unhappy state, and maybe you'll be able to put some problem solving into play. Don't let your child's anger scare you, and know that over time you can figure out how to help them regulate their feelings, and you'll also learn ways to soothe their frustrations and fears some of the time. And of course, modeling how to manage your own anger is a great way for them to learn self-control. We want to hear from you today what kinds of situations set your child off, and if you have an intense or easily frustrated child, how have you helped them cope? Also, call us with questions about working with your strong reactions to your child's anger. Remember, you're not alone. Call us at 877-372-KIDS. That's 877-372-5437. We're now live on 98.1 KISS FM, KOcean 105.1, and La Nuestra, KBBF 89.1 FM. Good morning to you all. I hope you're getting up to a wonderful day. And for our friends in England and Eureka, send us an email at info@childhoodmatters.org or go to our Facebook page. Let us know what's on your mind and what topics you want us to cover in future shows. Today's show is brought to you in part by the San Francisco Foundation. Joining us in the studio is Sue Dinwiddie. She is an author, educator, and a former head teacher at Bing Nursery School at Stanford University. Sue offers trainings throughout the Bay Area, including Parents Place in Palo Alto and San Mateo, and she also consults in New York City. Her books on helping young children learn problem-solving skills are I Want It My Way and Let Me Think, and they could be found at Better World Press. Sue Dinwiddie, thank you for coming.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here this morning, Rona.
Great to see you, and also your lovely husband,
yeah.
Ken.
My chauffeur.
Your chauffeur, right. Also with us this morning is Elizabeth Moffitt. She's a marriage and family therapist who worked at the Family Service Agency of Marin for 10 years and was certified by UC Davis as a parent-child interaction therapist. She's presently in private practice in Marin County. Elizabeth Moffitt, welcome back to our show.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me.
It's really good to see you again. So we're going to start off with you, Sue.
Okay.
How do you help parents and childcare providers understand how to respond to a young child's anger?
Well, I do it by teaching a class, Rona, and working with parents in the class. And so I could tell you quickly an example that came from my last week's class at Parents Place.
Perfect.
Would you like that?
Yeah.
Great. Okay. So here's the situation. Dad arrived at the childcare to pick up his daughter, and she took one look at him, and she yelled, "Where's Mommy? I don't want you. I want Mommy." And Dad said, "Well, Mom just couldn't leave work. She got really busy. So I came to pick you up. I don't want you. I want Mommy." But Mommy couldn't come. "Go away. I hate you. Go away." Whereupon Dad said, "Come on, get your things and let's go." And it ended with a child saying, no, go away from you, Mommy. I hate you. Wah." So we used that in the class after we had talked about some process. And I really what the class then worked with him, and we came up with a whole new scenario. But I just want to tell you the overview. First of all, the class decided, and it's true, the most important thing is to try to stay calm, and it's probably the hardest thing you do at a moment like that, because you're human and you react too. And it's really important not to take it personally. I mean, she said, "I hate you," but she didn't really hate him. The second thing is to validate the child's feelings, that the child really is angry. If dad would say, "Oh, that's not worth being angry about," she would get more angry. And then he helped her cool off, which we can talk about later, how he did that. And then he guided her some choices. So can I read the new scenario?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So what they came up with, he played the part of his child, and they did some role playing. So the child said, "Where's mommy? I don't want you. I want mommy." And dad said, "Mommy couldn't come. She got busy at work, so I got to come today." "Well, I don't want you. I want mommy." Then dad said, "I know. You're really disappointed to see me. You were counting on seeing mommy. This is a surprise you weren't counting on. I don't want you. Go away, go away." Dad said, "Come on, I'll help you cool off and we can think of some choices." And I'm not going to go into really how he did that.
Yeah.
But he sat down with her.
But he acknowledged first.
He acknowledged. Then they cooled off. Then once she was cooled off, he said, "Well, let's think of three choices to make things better." And, "No, I want mommy," she said still. But he said, "Well, you could call mommy on the phone. You could draw a picture. You could show me just how mommy takes you home so I could do it the same way. Or if we go right now, we'd have time to stop at the park on the way home."
So it just really de-escalated everything.
It de-escalated everything.
That's a great example of how if you don't react in the moment and you actually take a breath. And I think prepare, the class that you teach helps parents prepare for those moments, because when you're really hit with it in the moment, it's hard sometimes to think.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah, that's a wonderful way to start. 1-877-372-KIDS. If you have an example, just like Sue's, call us. We'd love to hear your example of how your child kind of triggers you and how you can react so that things go in a better way. Elizabeth, this is a good example. Maybe you can tell us a little bit more about the emotion of anger and what other emotions a child may be feeling as they act out in an angry way.
Well, the emotion of anger is actually a secondary reaction. It's a secondary emotion. The first thing the child may be feeling is frustration, or they've been violated in some way, or they've been humiliated, they've been ignored, or they've had their space invaded. All of the training for a child in dealing with their anger begins with the birth of the child, and often that dance that's set up between the primary caregiver and the baby, it starts immediately when the baby's born, because a parent can be tired and frustrated and their child is screaming and they can take it personally and think, "Oh, my baby's angry with me, my baby's..." They see it as an emotion in response to them, which it really isn't, because crying is exactly the way a child uses to let you know what the needs they have, and you're the one who can meet those needs. So if you can set that up from the beginning of feeding them when they're hungry until they're full, then they will calm down. You get you feel in your own body, "I can respond to this child's needs." And it alleviates the anxiety of the baby. They come into the world thinking, is the world a safe place? Am I going to get my needs met? And when you can start that dance by meeting their needs, stepping back, calming down when they're crying, and realizing that this isn't about you, not getting your ego involved, then it's easier to deal with these situations as you go on. And as the child gets older, don't presume that you know what's upsetting them or what is making them angry, because you can right away go to something that was from your childhood or other parents you see. Instead, ask the questions. You'll be shocked at the answers that you get, because they aren't at all what you're thinking.
I'm thinking back to my daughter, and sometimes I would say something, you know, so I could see you feeling this, and she'd say, "No, I'm not. You know, why don't you ask me first? And so that's good. Sometimes we do know intuitively, but a lot of times we don't. Really good advice from the beginning. 1-877-372-KIDS. And I also think in the scenario that Sue just did, we are also looking at a child's temperament. And that's something I want to keep talking about this morning, because mm-hmm. some kids who are very intense and may have trouble with transitions, they may react more explosively or more in a tantrum than another child who might have a different temperament, don't you think?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Good. Well, let's take our call this morning. We have a live line. We have Chris with us from New York. Chris, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, it's so great to hear from you.
Well, you know, I really enjoy your show. I generally listen to it after the fact, and I'm often thinking to myself, oh, I wish I was live, because then I could call in. But...
Right, and here you are now, because it's only 10 o'clock in New York.
It's a great time, and we have a beautifully sunny day, which we haven't had a lot of. So
good, and it reminds people that you can hear all the previous shows by podcast and online. Chris, how old are your children?
Aiden will turn 5 tomorrow, and Siobhan will turn 5 in October. I have 2 adopted children, so they're 3.5 months apart.
Wow. Well, happy birthdays to them. Do you have either a question or a comment on the subject of children and anger?
Well, I do. Actually, I've got 2 very different temperaments at home. Siobhan is quite eager to please, and Aiden is he moves towards anger more often than she does. And the thing that is most important for my wife and myself is sort of recalling 2 things. One, that it's not the kid's fault that you may have had a bad day. and so please, you know, try not to bring that into the mix, because that's not part of their world. And the second thing is that as illogical as you feel their argument may be, it's very logical and very real to them. So it's important that they're heard, whether they're heard at that moment or if they're too steamed up at that moment, that they're heard later. But you certainly need to talk to them and make sure they get heard and they know they are heard, so that that anger doesn't grow over time.
Well, those are very good insights. Let me just ask my guests about this idea of a child feeling like they've been heard. Sue, I'm sure in all your work, that's a key element, isn't it?
Absolutely. I really like that you brought this up, Chris. That I truly believe that children have a reason for everything they do. They don't do it just out of the blue. Their reason may not be our reason, and it may not seem that important to us, but it's so important to them at the time. And for them to feel like they're being heard, and that's why when you reflect back that underlying emotion, it sounds like, yeah, they understand. That doesn't mean you have to give in to your child, but it does mean you're empathizing with your child.
And what allows you, Chris, to be in the state of mind where you can do that? I think that's one of the keys is, you know, here you have 2 5-year-olds, and I assume you might be working, or are you a stay-at-home pop?
No, I work during the day, and I'm... Actually, I just spent a full week with them on vacation, and that's been great.
So what allows you to have the state of mind to listen to them rather than, you know, just get triggered?
Well, clearly the easiest thing to do is just shut it down and impose your will on the situation.
Yes, that is.
But that is not.
Only in the short run.
Yeah, it only works for that 5 minutes, and then it'll pop up again. And I'm not saying that I'm perfect and that I do it all the time, but that's the goal. I just try to keep that in mind. Hold on 1 second.
maybe he wants to talk on the air there.
Exactly. So it's the target. It's what you shoot for, and you know, we feel that we hit it more times than not. But again, we're not perfect, and sometimes I hear from my wife, you know, you were a little loud then. Maybe, you know, if you're more quiet, I think that you'd be better suited. And she's right.
Yes.
But it's not always easy to do.
Well, Chris, you know, I know one area that used to trigger me a lot was sibling rivalry, in the sense sibling fighting or arguing. When my kids would get into it, I noticed my temper going up. And that's when, you know, it would fuel my own anger. And therefore, you know, I would react to them. Is that an issue for you?
You know, of course, anytime. Well, you know, I grew up in a large family where the kids were fairly close together, and, you know, we fought like cats and dogs. In my recollection, it seemed like all the time, but I'm sure it wasn't. But, you know, the kids get along great, and then there are times that they fight. There's always going to be times. We actually had a situation the other day. I was buying a present for Siobhan because Aiden's birthday was coming up, and I wanted to get something for her so that she didn't feel totally left out. And, you know, Aiden really got upset. He's like, well, if she gets something, I want something, right? And
yeah.
I said, well, you've got a birthday coming up. In a couple of days, you'll get a lot of things in, and she won't get anything. So this is for her. And there was a bit of a meltdown right in the store, which is the last place you want it.
Yes, right.
You know, so you deal with it, and you explain it as best you can in very calm terms. And he actually, by the time we walked out of the store, he was okay. He was still angry.
But he was. But you were in charge, and you knew that you weren't going to give in. Elizabeth, I would think that a lot of parents you work with deal with sibling issues in terms of the whole house feeling a bit chaotic and angry at times.
That's right. And one of the things that we're talking about here, too, are temper tantrums. And that's something that really frustrates parents when they're in a store or any place at home. They feel out of control. And they'll have people point out to them, maybe their parents or in-laws say, oh, that child is controlling you. That child's in control. And it's exactly the opposite of that. When a child has a temper tantrum or extreme anger, they're really out of control. And they're feeling very upset about themselves. And the best way to deal with that is staying as calm as you can and working out ahead of time what you're going to do under those circumstances, which reassures the child and dissipates some of their anger. Because if they're out of control, you get angry and you're yelling and you're out of control, it escalates the child's feeling of, oh, nobody's in charge here, and they really get upset about that. And some of the things you can do is to give very positive directions to a child, warn them ahead of time if there are going to be transitions, empathize with them, think about what is it that the child actually needs or what is their problem right now, and give them a lot of respect. If they know they're going to get attention from you later, then they don't have to get out of control and get desperate to get it in the moment.
Good. And I think, Sue, this example that Chris gave in the store was perfect because he didn't give in to his child.
I know. That was great. That was really good. And that's really hard for parents to do. But the other thing, Rona, was he really stayed calm. And I think, you know, what I suggest to parents is when a situation comes up, of course, you do have to deal with it right then and there. You can't say, wait, there's a book someplace I can read. But if you go back and think about it later when the kids are in bed and you're relaxed, then you can play it back in your mind and you can think, what could I have done differently? Or how could I have handled this that might have gone smoother? How can I really cool myself off before I deal with this in a really quick way? Because you'll have other episodes that are fairly similar. And
yes.
Then you'll be more prepared than you were this time.
Good. Well, Chris, would you like a book? I have The No Cry Discipline Solution by Elizabeth Pantley, and I also have a copy of Sue's book, I Want It My Way. It's Problem-Solving Techniques with Children 2 to 8. Would you like some books?
Sure, that'd be great.
I don't know if you have any time to read.
I got back into reading this year, so it's been great.
Good.
That would be wonderful.
Good, and your kids are getting older now, too. So,
yes, so I have a little bit more free time, although that's marginal. But
well, if you want to keep listening to the show, hang on the line here and you can hear us. And I really appreciate hearing from you, Chris. And anytime, if you listen to a previous show and have a question, just email me, rona@childhoodmatters.org.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, Chris.
Have a good day.
1-877-372-KIDS. We're talking about your kids' emotions, anger in particular, and how it makes you feel. Elizabeth, you wanted to add something?
Yeah, I wanted to add something to what Sue was saying. One of the things I do with my parents, because I work with parents with small children, is I ask them to keep a journal. Write down what precedes the tantrum. Write down every time there is a tantrum how they're feeling before. Are they tired? Are they hungry? Is the child tired? Are they hungry? And try to avoid those situations or at least anticipate them. You feel a lot more in control if you've thought it through ahead of time. Otherwise, you just feel like you're in the ocean and these waves keep hitting you and knocking you down and you don't know how to react.
I think this is a great example because I also have parents do this, and what they suddenly find out is, oh my God, it happens every day at 4:00. So we're talking about your child's anger, and in a moment, we'll take your call.
Information for your kids,
for your family,
for you.
Give us a call now at 1-877-372-KIDS.
The conversation continues after this.
Here's this week's Childhood Matters community calendar with events for parents and kids. Berkeley families, celebrate Bastille Day at Habitat with French food and fun French-themed activities. Tuesday, July 14, from 9:30 to 12:30. For more information, call 510-647-1111. That's 510-647-1111. San Francisco parents, learn how to improve communication between you and special education teachers at Parents Place. Wednesday, July 15, from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. For more information, call 415-469-4988. That's 415-469-4988. Come to Pleasant Hill Aquatic Park for Water Derby Day. Design a boat from cardboard, tape, and recycled materials, then race it across the pool. Friday, July 17 at 2. For more information, call 925-682-0896. That's 925-682-0896. San Rafael families, enjoy a free barbecue and raffle at McGinnis Park. Bring your pet along to learn about safety issues all pet owners should know. Friday, July 17, from 5 to 7. For more information, call 415-499-6387. That's 415-499-6387. Monterey families, get active at the Del Monte Shopping Center with Kids in Motion Day. Activities include kite flying, a petting zoo, face painting, and much more. Saturday, July 18, from 11 to 3. For more information, call 1-888-474-6736. That's 1-888-474-6736. For additional information and more events, visit our website, childhoodmatters.org. And to submit events, email info@childhoodmatters.org. I'm Zan West.
Did you know parents of newborns and young children are eligible to receive a free parenting kit? Each free kit for new parents is chock full of helpful information and resources for new and expecting parents on topics such as health, child development, and finding quality childcare. Get your questions answered and order your free kit today. Call 1-800-543-7025 to request a free kit. That's 800-543-7025. This message is brought to you by First 5 Alameda County.
During the first 5 years of life, children develop faster than at any other time. Children don't come with instructions, and it's okay for parents and caregivers to ask for help. Quality services are available in your community. Visit www.first5monterey.org. That's first, the number 5, monterey.org, to find out about flexible programs developed just for families with young children. And remember, childhood doesn't last forever, but the experience lasts a lifetime. Read, talk, and play with your child every day. This message is brought to you by First 5 Monterey County.
Teach your children well and know they love you.
We continue with Childhood Matters.
Brought to you in part by First 5 Contra Costa.
Back to your host, Rona Renner.
Today we're talking with Sue Dinwiddie, and she's the author, educator, and a former head teacher at Bing Nursery School at Stanford University, and Elizabeth Moffitt, a marriage and family therapist in Marin County. And, you know, we're now on KBBF. We'd love to hear from parents in Santa Rosa. We're in Monterey Live now, so those families who are waking up in Salinas, give us a call, 1-877-372-KIDS. Sue, you wanted to say something about cooling off. This is important.
I did. At the time. I know when my children were young, I used to think, oh, I've got to do something right this very instant. And actually what happens when anybody is really emotionally upset is that you'll notice your heart's going fast, you're breathing very, very fast, and your brain is not working efficiently. And so if you can just take a few deep breaths, you can do it right there. If the children are right there, you'll think a lot more clearly. It's also really important for children to cool off because they can't think either. So what I used to do with my children is I would expect this rational behavior from my child who's in a complete meltdown. And my child has no rational mind at that moment to deal with.
And I think that's when you don't have to even do it as a punishment. You just say, you know, we need to be separate right now. We need to cool off. Some children need you real nearby. Other kids do better if they have a chance to go to their room and just, you know, read a book, play quietly. It, again, depends on your child. I think people often ask about that, Elizabeth.
And I think one of the problems is a parent's expectation of a child. Make sure that your expectation isn't overwhelming for them, that you know what they can actually accomplish, starting when they're babies and on up each time, watch what they can do, and then put your expectations in line with that. Otherwise, both of you are going to be set up for failure.
Good. Well, let's take another call. We have Natalie now from Oakland with us. Good morning, Natalie.
Good morning.
Hi. So good to hear you early in the morning.
I know.
It's early. Are you up?
I'm up, sort
You're
of.
Up, sort of. How old is your child, Natalie?
She's 4 and a half.
Okay. And do you have a question about this subject this morning?
Well, yeah. I want to definitely provide her with space and outlet for her anger, which she definitely has some of at 4 and a half. But also, she also can be a little bit manipulative, so I'm trying to create healthy spaces for her to be and healthy ways for her to be angry. Do you have advice about some ways to
Can you
do
just
that?
Give me an example of what you mean by manipulative? You know, like, can you think of something?
You know, wanting to get what she wants and when she doesn't, you know, being angry and then kind of turning that into whining, which is more like badgering.
Right. But, so whining turns into badgering, and it's not so much manipulative. It's just really clear, letting you know what she wants and that she's persistent, right?
Yes, she is. She's very persistent. Yeah.
Yes.
And strong-willed.
And
but she also, and she's strong-willed, but she also has, you know, real anger being a real feeling that we all have. So
right.
I want to make sure to allow that.
Good. Really good question. And again, with strong-willed kids, spirited kids, they're often intense. They have persistence, and sometimes they're sensitive, and they can wear you down. They can wear you down. Let me ask Elizabeth here. So a four-year-old who is angry, you don't want to give in, but you also can't have them in your face badgering you every minute. What do you do?
Well, that's right. And I think one of the things that a parent has to keep in mind is that the main thing the child always wants is your love and your attention and your time. And that's what they're desperate for. And if they feel as though they're going to get that, then, in fact, they're less interested in material things. If you give them, you reinforce what the child is doing right, this child is getting negative attention, so then they go for that. If you set up time with both you and if there's a partner in place that you can spend one-on-one time and the child can anticipate, I know I'm going to have mommy all to myself, especially when there's a sibling, that each of the parents are going to spend time with them. They get less desperate for things. They feel more relaxed and more happy about their lives.
So, Natalie, do you do that kind of special time where she knows she has your one-on-one attention?
Oh, yeah, yes. That's definitely part of kind of her everyday life, either myself or her father.
Because that's something that a lot of parents struggle with. You know, they're busy, they're working, they come home, they want to do dinner. And I always say, you know, like, sort of drop everything for even if it's 10 minutes and read a story together.
Yes.
Your child then feels a little less hungry for that kind of attention. Let's see what Sue has to say.
Well, you know, Natalie, one thing you might try is when she's not angry, when you're just hanging out together and everybody's calm, bring up a little bit an episode that happened and ask her how she felt and what it was like for her and get her to talk. I find a good way to get children to open up is to say, I wonder what it felt like to you. And then she's old enough that you could together decide on a cool-off space at home. And it's not a timeout. It's not a punishment. The point is you want things that would comfort her, a book, a blanket, stuffed animal, Legos, things to draw, whatever it is. So it could be a room. It could be a little basket that you keep it in, and she could take it to a corner of the room. But it's a chance to calm down. And it's if she's helped to create and decide where that cool-off space is, it's easier for her to go. And at the beginning, it's okay for you to go with her. Often then children will learn on their own, I just need a little time away.
You know, Natalie, I think because she's so intense also that it's going to be easy to get triggered by her.
Mm-hmm. And, yes.
And so a lot of it is working on your own ability to notice when you're, you know, when the heat is rising and your hand is clenching, and to be able to look at her and say, you know, I'm starting to really get frustrated myself right now, so we need to find something where we're both going to calm down.
Yeah. And we do negotiate that way, and we do talk. We try to be very literate, both of us, about how we're feeling.
Right.
So, and I think that's good.
And it's good, but also outlets. You know, I have one of my kids is pretty intense, and I found that the more he had outlets for his creativity, and, you know, eventually in high school, it became a rower and crew, and that was fabulous, you know.
Right.
But I think the more music, you know, turning on music, dancing, anything to help with those creative juices, those creative energies, really can also make a big difference.
Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome, and thank you. And I'll send you a copy of a book we have, How to Raise Emotionally Healthy Children, Meeting the Five Critical Needs of Children and Parents, too. And Sue has a nice book here, is Let Me Think, so Activities to Develop Problem-Solving Abilities. So part of it is engaging her cooperatively in the problem-solving. And thanks for calling this morning.
Thanks. Sounds fantastic.
Let's take a listen now to what other parents have to say about how they deal with anger, how they feel about anger, and we'll see what our guests think about that.
This is assistant producer Anthony Giorgetti, and this week I went to Habitat to speak with parents about anger.
What do your kids do when they get angry?
Yells. They scream at each other.
Oh, boy. She pouts and actually goes in a timeout corner herself, so... The little one, she kind of grunts a little bit, so you can kind of see in her facial expression that she's upset.
She shouts. Sometimes she hits, a lot of door slamming.
And what sort of things provoke your children?
There's been occasions where they're working on sharing things, like if someone takes something away from him, and then he's like, you know, makes a noise or sound or something.
Not getting their way. my oldest now doesn't like no, or if you... construct her to do something different, she already knows I don't like that.
When he can't get what he wants.
Not getting her way, mostly. Yeah, but it really doesn't help when she's tired or when she's hungry. Yeah, that makes it a lot worse.
How do you handle your emotions when you're dealing with frustration with your kids?
Sometimes I get really angry and I can be loud. A lot of times if I'm upset, I just kind of put him in his playroom and just give him some time because I need time.
I'm not really known for my patience, so that could be where she gets it from. but I've learned a lot about anger management since becoming a mother. Try the, you know, counting to 10 thing, sometimes leaving her alone, and that helps a lot.
Honestly, I cannot think of a time where I really got frustrated with them because they're kids. We talk about everything, or I'll let them know that they need to go and time out, which is basically just sitting down for a while, and when they're ready to talk, to come. So. If I get frustrated with something they're doing, I walk away, or else if they're doing something, I put them on timeout for a minute.
Yeah. Well, I think we all need timeouts. So sometimes when you're frustrated and she needs a timeout because she did something, she gets her timeout and I say I take a timeout too. So it gives us a couple minutes where everything diffuses and then usually everything's fine. It's a kind of, it's a reset button to have a timeout.
For Childhood Matters, this is Anthony Giorgetti.
I sure love hearing the wisdom of parents. That was great. Thank you, Tony. Sue, any response to what you heard?
Well, I really think she was right on the right track. I mean, I think the parents in general were. They know themselves and they know how they react. But the last woman who spoke about she gives herself a timeout and the child a timeout, I would just put a more positive spin on a timeout because timeout often has this very negative, it's a punishment. That's why I call it a cool-off. But it is just a time away. And it's wonderful when children can say, I just need to have a little time.
Right.
You know, I need a space. Refuel. I need to, you know, go sit someplace for a minute.
Good. And it's not a failure at all.
Or I have a child who was very, very active. And to go sit, even if it wasn't a punishment, was horrible for him. So I had to find active things for him to do, which you were talking about a little bit. I was very fortunate because I had a friend fenced in yard. And I used to say, go run around the yard three times. Then let's look at it.
Right. Even if it's something like get the clay out, you know, something tactile.
Oh, Play-Doh is wonderful.
Play-Doh is really good. For you, Elizabeth, any responses?
I really like listening to those parents and the way they're thinking about these things. They're respecting their children. They're giving a very thoughtful approach to all of this. A couple of the things I think with my parents, I talk to them ahead of time, too, about how do they feel when their child is very angry or, as I said earlier, throwing a tantrum or upset. And recognize the physicality in your own body because, in fact, what's often happened with you, you see your child out of control and you don't know what to do about it, and then you feel out of control as well. It takes you back to the person you were at 2 years old when you felt the frustration and lack of control in your life. You are that person. You become a two-year-old when your parent, when your child gets out of control, and sort of anticipate that and realize that that's what's going to happen and you're going to have to step back and take a breath.
And it could be very frightening, you know, if you had a parent who was physically abusive to you, for instance, and you're trying not to do that with your own child, you can get frozen.
Exactly.
Because you don't know what to do instead. And that's where recognizing what you're feeling, you might feel frightened, you might feel sad, you also might feel incompetent. Like, I don't know what to do. And that's where you breathe and you say, okay, we're going to sit on the floor right now and both of us are going to cry, or we're going to, you know, we're going to go get popcorn or whatever you can do. But recognize you don't have to react based on your own childhood.
That's right. And you are an expert on your own child, and trust your feelings. And the one thing about children, they're very forgiving. You're going to get another chance. Don't beat yourself up about it. Go
That's
back,
right.
Think it through, and handle it better the next time.
And we all make mistakes. I can guarantee that. So let's take another call. Our phone lines are open, 1-877-372-KIDS. We have Michelle from Kensington joining us. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Great that you're joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for this show. I was very excited to listen.
Good. Do you have a question or a suggestion?
I have a couple of comments, actually.
Yeah.
I was thinking a lot as my son is six, and I've been thinking a lot since he's about two about just the whole issue of anger in my family. And I'm a life coach, so I work with parents a lot.
Yeah.
And I just noticed that every family has their own pattern for dealing with anger and other intense feelings. And I think one of the things that's been really important for me and for many of my clients is to have real permission for me to find my own anger and get to know it and become intimate with it and find ways that work for me to express it outside of my parenting.
Uh-huh. So can you give us an example, Michelle? Your name is Michelle, is that right?
Michelle, yeah.
Can you give us an example of a way that feels healthy to express your anger?
Yeah, one of the things, I have many, but one of the things that I found really helpful was to actually do it in meditation with my eyes closed and to let the feeling intensely boil up within me and then imagine myself expressing it in ways that were safe for me, either, you know, maybe standing at the edge of a cliff and screaming it and letting the emotion kind of pour out of me and into the air or into the ocean or something like that, or you know, I've found ways that are physical because sometimes you need to get your body involved. And so I've actually found ways that are physical, like exercising, but I'm not letting myself get hurt, or even using a Nerf baseball bat and hitting the couch.
Uh-huh. Yes, I remember those Nerf baseball bats.
I recommend them to my clients all the time because you don't get hurt and you can actually let your child experiment with their own anger, making sure you're very clear. I've done this. I had to do this with my son because he went through a phase where he hit, and the person he was hitting was me, and it was very upsetting.
And it's not okay. And if you can teach them with you not to hit, then they can learn not to hit. And I remember those Nerf things. I used to, my ex-husband and I used them. So there
great?
You go.
So great.
Yeah. Michelle, I think that what you're saying is key here, is that if you can be in touch with your own anger and learn how to grapple with it and accept it, then you're much more likely to be accepting of your child's own feelings.
Yeah, and there's a way to, when I do that, there's a way that I recognize that when my child is angry, it doesn't need to trigger my anger, and I can stay separate and hold a space for him to be angry that's safe for him.
You know, that is such a great example for people. We're about to go to a break. Do you have the book Everyday Blessings, The Inner Work of Mindful Parenting?
No.
You would love this book since you do meditation. Myla and Jon Kabat-Zinn have written a beautiful book. I will send that to you. Michelle, I hope you listen each week, and I look forward to hearing from you again.
Thanks very much.
You're very welcome. So we're talking about kids' anger, and we're talking with you this morning about emotions. We'd love to hear from you, 1-877-372-KIDS. And in just a moment, we'll be taking your call. I think.
Childhood Matters.
Helpful advice, inspiration, and resources for parents.
Get involved. 1-877-372-KIDS.
Hello, my name is Robbie. I'm a devoted father of a 5-year-old boy and a 1-year-old girl. I used to get frustrated when my kids would do things that I would disapprove of. Then I heard Nurse Rona say that kids' behavior has meaning, and I needed to look and see what my son was asking of me. Nurse Rona helps thousands of parents like me each week with issues about health, child care, education, and anything and everything pertaining to children. In these challenging economic times, parents need more help than ever, and Childhood Matters needs your help. With your support, we can stay on the air and continue to provide valuable information and inspiration to people like you. Join me in helping Childhood Matters, a nonprofit organization who needs your financial support. No donation is too small or too large to help Nurse Rona stay on the air. Go to childhoodmatters.org to make a donation or call them at 877-372-KIDS. That's 877-372-KIDS. I'm speaking to you about a show I am passionate about, a show that has helped me be the best father I can be. Please help.
Did you know that in San Francisco and the East Bay, 1 in every 5 children has been diagnosed with asthma? In fact, asthma is the most common reason kids are hospitalized in the Bay Area. At KidsData.org, you can learn more about issues that affect the health and well-being of children in the Bay Area. KidsData.org provides easy-to-access information and resources for those who influence kids' lives. You can find data by region, topic, or demographic, such as ethnicity or age. Visit KidsData.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by the Lucille Packard Foundation for Children's Health.
With California's unemployment rate at the highest level in over 25 years, the Bay Area First Five County Commissions know many families could use help caring for their kids. There are free and low-cost health resources available in the Bay Area for children up to 5 years old. Visit firstfivekids.org/bay to learn more about how to enroll your child in health care, receive free medical screenings, and eat healthy on a tight budget. That's firstthenumber5kids.org/bay.
This is Nurse Rona with news for parents, providers, and everyone who cares about kids. Childhood Matters is now podcasting. So many people have told me they love our show but can't listen on Sunday mornings. Now it's easy to get our shows on your iPod or MP3 player and take us with you. Sign up for podcasting today at childhoodmatters.org. And if you or someone you know speaks Spanish, click on the Nuestros Niños logo and learn about our sister show in Spanish with Dr. Marisol.
Finding help in the Bay Area is easier than ever before. Dial 211 to speak with a trained caring specialist who will match your needs with local services, including childcare, rent assistance, counseling, job services, health care, food, and so much more. Dial 211 for free confidential help, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Help starts here. Dial 211. 211 is a service of United Way, Eden I&R, and the Contra Costa Crisis Center.
Forever young. I wanna be forever young.
You're listening to Childhood Matters.
Brought to you in part by First 5 Marin. Here's more with Nurse Rona.
Today, we're talking with Sue Dinwiddie. She's an author, educator, and a former head teacher at Bing Nursery School at Stanford University, and Elizabeth Moffitt. She's a marriage and family therapist in Marin County. Before the break, Sue, we were talking about parental anger, and you wanted to add something.
Michelle has really done a lot of work trying to understand her own anger and trying to find appropriate ways to express it. And I think that's the overall goal for children. We don't want them to deny their anger, and it's not realistic to say they should never be angry. What we want them to do is to find appropriate ways to deal with that anger.
Yes, absolutely. Anything you want to add to that, Elizabeth?
I absolutely agree with that. I think it's really important and to not to take the anger personally and not to get wrapped up in the anger, but to divert their attention, use all kinds of little techniques to deal with the anger, but don't immediately judge them or raise your voice. Help them deal with it in an appropriate way.
And none of us is saying that you shouldn't set limits and you shouldn't have positive discipline and you shouldn't sometimes say that's enough. You know, if your child's doing something dangerous, you may raise your voice and really make it clear that you need them to stop. So I think it's important to realize acknowledging, understanding, all of these things are at the core of healthy discipline, but also there are times when, you know, you're going to have to set those limits to make sure your child is safe and going in the right direction. You know, I had the pleasure of talking with Dr. Ross Green this week. He's a Harvard psychologist and the author of the book, The Explosive Child. Let's take a listen to some of his insight. Dr. Ross Green, I found your book, The Explosive Child, extremely helpful. Tell us why some children are so challenging for parents.
Well, thing number one is, why are challenging kids challenging and when? Thing number two, now that you know why and when, what are you going to do differently? Challenging kids are challenging when the demands being placed upon them exceed their capacity to respond adaptively. One of the most important things to know about challenging kids is that they're not challenging every second of every waking hour. They're challenging under some conditions, in some situation. And when do they become challenging? When the world is placing demands on them for skills that they do not yet possess in sufficient quantity.
See, that's so key, is that they don't really want to be challenging.
If a kid's not doing well, it must be because he's having difficulty doing well, not that he doesn't want to do well. And so one of the things that the model brings to the table is the view of challenging behavior in kids as a developmental delay. And one of the things I've done is delineate all of the skills I frequently find lacking in kids with social, emotional, and behavioral challenges. Some of them are challenging because they're impulsive. Some have a great deal of difficulty regulating their emotions when they get frustrated.
Yeah.
There's many different lagging skills that could be coming into play.
Can you give us just a simple tip, again, from your book, The Explosive Child, that parents can do right now?
Viewing a kid through a different set of lenses is very crucial. Because what it says is that kids are having difficulty moving in the direction we'd like them to for legitimate reasons.
Yes. Because,
and therefore, one of the most important things we can do, and in the parlance of collaborative problem solving, this is called the empathy step, is to find out what their concern or perspective is on the problem, on any of the problems that are causing their challenging behavior, whether that's screen time or homework or et cetera, what chores we're trying to get them to do. In the, once again, parlance of collaborative problem solving, those are referred to as unsolved problems. And the goal of intervention is to start solving them one at a time, but true to the name of the approach, to do it collaboratively.
The idea here is to understand the behavior, and then through the book, The Explosive Child, and also at the website, explosivechild.com, you can learn about wonderful strategies, but the key is the understanding. Dr. Ross Green, please come back, and we'll certainly do a show with you.
I'd be delighted.
Thank you so much. You know, as we're winding up here, or winding down, I guess it is, maybe you can respond to this, Elizabeth.
Well, one of the things that he's really talking about is our expectations for a child that are beyond what they can accomplish. For example, the under fives, their small motor and their language skills are really not that well developed, and we have very high expectations for that. But in fact, their gross motor is good. So incorporate every day into their lives a lot of gross motor activity, that will help a lot with the child. And just don't expect too much of them.
That's right. Have realistic expectations.
Fair. And this often happens with siblings. You get a newborn in the house, and suddenly the toddler looks to you like a 20-year-old.
Right.
So your expectations are way too high. And
exactly.
They're frustrated, and you're frustrated.
Well, Elizabeth Moffitt, how can people find out about your services in Marin?
I have a private practice in Marin. I work specifically with families with small children. I work with families from the time the woman becomes pregnant till the youngest child is about 9 or 10. You can call me at 415-225-5193, and I can sit down with your family. I can do an assessment of what you're dealing with, what are your problems, and how can we work together.
Thank you so much for coming again. And your response, Sue Dinwiddie, from what we heard from Ross Green.
Oh, I really liked what he was doing. I mean, he's so right. The empathy step of really listening to your child and understanding, because there is always a reason. And then he said collaboratively solving the problems, but just one at a time. You can't do them all at the same time.
You know, I think that's key. What you're saying is sometimes parents get so frustrated, they want to change everything.
Right.
They want to change the person,
yeah,
you know, completely. And what happens then is the message the child gets is something very wrong with me, isn't it?
I think you want to deal with the specific issue, right? Whatever it is. And don't worry about all the others at that point.
So tell us, how can people find out about the great classes you teach?
Well, Parents Place is a wonderful resource for parents. And the easiest way to contact them is www.parentsplaceonline.org. There were a lot of instructors then, but I do a whole series on anger, child anger, parent anger, how to negotiate with kids all together in a series. And it's always listed as a lecture, but it's very interactive.
Good. And you also teach in San Mateo, Palo Alto.
San Mateo and Palo Alto.
And I see here in San Francisco, they have wonderful classes on discipline, strengthening family relationships, school, really financial planning. And there's some special classes going on for people dealing with the rough economy. So go ahead.
Sonoma and Marin also have Parents Place.
Good. Well, Sue Dinwiddie, I love your books. And I thank you so much for joining us.
Pleasure to be here.
I want to say there's a wonderful class by Laurel Sobel in the East Bay, and she's doing a class coming up in the fall about kids and strong feelings. You can find her at laurasobel.net. It's been wonderful to talk with both of you today. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having
Thanks
me.
Thanks for inviting us. It's been a pleasure.
Now we're going to take a listen to Lacey Daniel.
Here to talk with us about the latest with swine flu, or H1N1, is Chris Wilder, the executive director of the Valley Medical Center in Santa Clara. Chris, can you tell us what the latest is?
I'm not the public health officer, so I can't tell you exactly how many cases there are, but I think a lot of people would be surprised to learn that, in fact, we do have active cases here at Valley Medical Center, and, in fact, all over Silicon Valley. Keep in mind, this is still a pandemic, as officially stated by the Center for Disease Control. So we've got a very serious issue here.
What are the symptoms? Are they different from the regular flu?
It's not a lot different. The symptoms are very similar. You'll be getting everything that you normally get in the seasonal flu, everything from fever, sore throat, cough, and runny nose, up to body aches and headaches, chills, fatigue. One of the major indicators, though, that might indicate that you should be concerned is running a very high fever. And that's one of the things that sort of separates just being sick from potentially having a flu, even having H1N1.
If someone thinks they have swine flu, what should they do?
Well, the first thing they should do is everything that you normally do with the flu. Stay home, don't go out, don't expose yourself to other people, because if you do, then you're just going to potentially spread this. You may wind up being sick for up to a week, so, you know, be prepared to hunker down. The thing to remember is that for most people, H1N1 is no more serious than any other seasonal flu. Most folks will recover just fine without medical attention. Obviously, you're going to want to try to stay hydrated. You're going to want to rest, get as much sleep as you can. But a lot of people are calling VMC saying, oh, I really want to get my child tested. And the testing really isn't the most important thing. The important thing is to do everything you would normally do with any flu, whether you have H1N1 or not.
Thank you so much for joining us, Chris.
Lacey, thank you.
For Childhood Matters, I'm Lacey Daniel.
Thank you to our guests and all of our listeners. I'm grateful to our teams, Ann West producer, Lacey Daniel associate producer, Tony Giorgetti assistant producer, Oscar Juarez at the controls, and Peter B. Collins of Collins Media Services. I'm forever grateful to my children, Pei, Mara, Matt, and Karina. This is Rona saying goodbye until next week, and parents, remember, spend time with your child and don't forget to take good care of yourself. Childhood matters, and so do you.
You've been listening to Childhood Matters.
Produced by Collins Media Services and presented by the nonprofit Interactive Parenting Media.
We are family.
Join us again for Childhood Matters. Find out more at childhoodmatters.org.